We'll come back to order. Would you please call the roll, please?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, we have a couple of items. Number 75, please.
Appeal of David Venadia against the noise variance granted to Anderson Construction for the Unico Overton apartment project located at the block bounded by Northwest 12th Avenue, Northwest Overton Street, Northwest 13th Avenue, and Northwest Pettigrove Street.
I think we have a member of the Noise Review Board and staff here to speak. I just want to say appreciate the work that both our volunteers and our staff have done in this case and many others. I think this case kind of demonstrates to me that the system works, and your role in making it work in this case is much appreciated. So welcome David Sweet and Paul Van Orden. I'm not sure who's on first, but we're glad you're here.
I'll jump in. Paul Van Orden, noise control officer for the city. Just a little background. Today we're revisiting an appeal of a staff-approved noise variance for crane operations and early morning concrete pours. In particular, the appellant, David Venadia, asked that city council overturn one particular item in our noise variance, which was a year-long element that would have allowed up to 10 Sundays of work for crane erections and demobilizations and the delivery of large-size materials. So it was for those two particular elements, the cranes and bringing in large elements. And in our last council hearing on this particular item, council had asked the contractor and the appellant to mediate regarding the Sunday work, and the item was easily resolved insofar as Anderson Construction made a decision that the 10 contingency days of work on Sundays were something they could remove from the table and give the neighbors a respite on Sundays, and that there would not be a need for mediation. So that item was rather easily resolved in terms of their request to do that Sunday work. There were several other items that council asked staff to research regarding this item and to also check in with the city attorney's office and find out some possible options. One concern regarded the almost ubiquitous EX zoning in the Pearl and exploring the concern that EX zoning is a mixed-use type of zoning, more or less, that allows a higher decibel level. And in our exploration of the EX zoning, the interesting thing that came out is quite clearly planning is looking at both through the comp plan and more so specifically for central city elements of planning concerns, what's the best situation in the Pearl for zoning. So there really wasn't a particular avenue for the noise office to push to change the zoning in the Pearl or to make changes to zoning. That compounded with the fact that EX zoning does appear in lots of different neighborhoods in the city, and making a specific change to the noise code to EX would really need quite a bit of research, because you'd be talking about a myriad of neighborhoods that might have one lot, several parcels with EX zoning. So it wouldn't really be a simple fix that would help reduce the decibel level in the Pearl, for instance, not to mention the concept that the Pearl is someplace that we see as having the beneficial element of mixed-use zone things happening that EX permits that another zoning or limitation on the decibel level would create some challenges.
Yeah, if I may, David Sweet. The mixed-use zoning task force that's working on issues around mixed-use right now intends to roll the EX zone into a commercial zone that will be one of the mixed-use zones at that point. Clearly designated as commercial, will be changing the noise code to consider EX zone a commercial zone, which will reduce the allowed noise levels in the Pearl and in other EX zones.
It will reduce it or it will increase
it? It will reduce what's allowed.
Why?
It will change it.
Because commercial zones are allowed to make less noise than industrial zones, and EX is currently considered industrial.
Right. Yeah, that will help. Good. Questions for
Paul? Oh, I have a question. When did you grow that beard? Dan and I would both have the same reaction, but we were wondering when Paul was going to show up.
It takes about a month and a half. It grows that quick.
Now you can do your work in a stealthy manner.
Yes, until I change the look again.
Undercover.
Undercover. Undercover noise officer.
So do we have it in writing that Anderson will not be working on Sundays?
Their variance, I might actually have an extra copy. Their variance was changed, and it was pulled right out of their variance. So they had a revised variance, which by chance I think I did grab extra copies. And the revised variance clearly states that, well, it doesn't state Sundays. The Sundays are just removed. And let's see if I have an extra copy.
So, Commissioner, the nature of the variance is that it identifies what is allowed. So if Sundays are not included, then Sundays would be off the table.
Thank you. So do we need to enter, because presumably, I mean, this appeal is against the noise variance. This is now a new noise variance. What's the procedural path forward here?
Well, this revised variance was issued to Anderson officially. So this is their official document that says this is now what your variance has been revised to state, because the noise control officer, in the conditions they originally received, there was a, or is always a condition that based on complaints and other concerns, we can revise their noise variance. So they've actually formally received this, that these are the conditions they're operating under. So unless Ben happened to say that we need to do something more official, I think we've legally told them that they no longer have Sundays and this is the variance they have to operate under.
And our current noise ordinance and construction ordinances don't allow Sundays, which is why they wanted the variance in the first place, correct?
This is always the tough part. The code doesn't say you absolutely can't work on Sundays. It says that you can't exceed the permitted decibel levels, which basically means you can do things like paint and bring sheetrock and plumbing materials and work inside a building. So they're actually just asking for a variance, not philosophically to work on Sundays, but to make more noise than they can legally make on a Sunday.
And the construction, is construction allowed in general that's not noisy allowed on Sundays?
Yes. So what we have to do when we issue citations for people working on Sundays is we actually have to document that the body of work that they're doing is exceeding the baseline permitted decibel levels.
But construction itself is allowed?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And there was a discussion at the previous hearing about forbidding noisy activities such as cutting metal before 6 a.m.
And we did not look to write a specific regulation to the code to write the code in that fashion at this point. That is something that could go through the noise review board. What we focused on more so was the other items I didn't mention were including improving notification and the venue of review, but we did not have a specific dialogue around adding a new component of the code that just limited construction work on Sundays, for instance.
I happened to be there when we were drafting the noise code in 1975-76. And the idea with construction was that there are certain construction activities that are so loud that we couldn't set a reasonable decibel limit for them. So we set restricted hours instead. And so the permitted hours are 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And within those hours, the sound levels permitted from construction are very permissive. Outside of those hours, they are the same as they would be for a rock band, an air conditioner, a stereo.
So, in fact, we do already have code saying that you cannot saw metal at
6 a.m. No, you cannot.
So then what's the penalty for that? For having done
so. If it's a first citation, it's $300. If it's a second citation, it's $1,000. Third citation, $3,000. And after that, it's $5,000 for every citation after that. There is a philosophical dispute, which is part of the reason we're in an appeal today, that I think that many of the citizens you may be hearing from feel that the noise office is not issuing citations quick enough or in a large enough number on construction projects. So I think there's a little bit of a question that I don't know will easily be resolved here. And that's why in the last hearing I tried to illustrate that just in the year and a half since there has been a transition from BDS to ONI, we've issued more citations in the noise office than we did in 5 or 6 years previous at BDS. So I'm not sure as staff, I'm obviously potentially biased, but I'd say that kind of improvement in a 25-year and career in environmental law enforcement is a pretty good statistic to show that we're serious about issuing penalties.
It is indeed. Even with or without beard, there is only one of you. And when I was in the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Emergency Communications, noise complaints tended to get pretty far down the both
BOIC and the police response. And so we do rely on the police to respond at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm wondering, looking to my left and my right, the commissioner is in charge of police and BOIC, if there can be a directive that for egregious noise violations, not just your noisy party, but for things that are actually specifically called out in code, such as not sawing through metal at 5 o'clock in the morning,
right,
that there could be some directive that, in fact, police would respond on site.
Already underway, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because Chief O'Day has directed that that Deanna and my office and Paul will be working with the Bureau for additional training for officers on noise enforcement. So there may be only one of him, but there are a lot of people out there every day on behalf of the city in the form of police officers who should be assisting in the enforcement. So
right,
that's in the works. It's something that Chief O'Day believes we really ought to be doing in terms of neighborhood-based policing, and I agree.
Yeah, well, especially for our downtown folks, where anything adjacent to a construction site, and if you, as the commission in charge of police, could make sure that the BOIC dispatchers are aware that, mm-hmm, in fact, the police will be prioritizing these kinds of noise complaints. I know in the past it's kind of like been, well, they may not be able to come within the next 2 hours, by which time it's long past when the construction hours are over.
Yeah.
So I'd like that. So just going back to notification, Paul, where did you get to on notification?
So improved notification as requested by council. In the short term, we tried to work with Anderson because they have several projects going on at once, as well as now Walsh Construction within close proximity to the same area. Their last request to do some early morning concrete pours, we actually had them do notification to all the surrounding buildings within a 2.5 block radius. They handed out approximately just under 1,000 notices to those buildings. And then we followed up by requiring the folks at Anderson to give us a business card from each building so we knew the person they reached out to and dropped off the notices for the tenants, because it's not always a possibility to literally get them into the hands of the tenants, and they can't put them in people's mailboxes legally. So we followed up and called those businesses, or those building managers, I should say, and found that about a third of them had not yet passed them out to the neighbors. So the notification element, the part of the equation that Anderson had to take care of, which is delivering the notices with an appropriate number, was verified to have been done correctly. The buildings passing them out to their tenants, we had some concerns that they weren't passed out until we actually called and said, we really need these in the hands of the tenants. That doesn't fix the problem completely in terms of notification directly to the tenants. Mailing could be a potential way to do business. The challenge there would be for a basic noise variance that might be 1, 2, 3 days of work. The mailing notification would be twice to three times the cost of what the noise variance is. So if council wanted us to go down that road, we could explore changing our notification component to require direct mailing to each person within a noise variance, but that was not where we arrived at this point. The second component of notification improvements, council, in our dialogue last meeting, we discussed the concept of trying to get a weekly notice out to neighbors. And so two things we're doing in that area. Kathy Couch, who's our main program specialist, she's taking a class in February to be able to use the city's webpage to post weekly our weekly notification of what variances have come in. And we're still trying to iron out how we're going to email out a list, because we're in the process of changing one of our other staff folks, Patrick Owen, who would normally be our person, to email out to all the neighborhood coalitions, interested parties, a list of the variances that have come in that week. He's now segueing over to crime prevention, so we're in the midst of getting a new person and getting that person trained up. So that will be the other component of weekly emails, as well as posting it on the DONI website.
I appreciate that it can be posted on the website. However, if I'm a resident downtown, I'm not going to be checking your website every week to find out whether or not there's a variance. Mm-hmm. And similarly, if I'm a neighborhood association volunteer, I'm not necessarily going to take it upon myself to get that email and find out who's the proper authority. I thought we had discussed something like posting a notice in the elevators or some other kind of public place.
As a matter of conditions that we're going to be putting in noise variances, they're going to actually have to have the formal noise variance on site, posted on site, because realistically, We've had some challenges with getting building folks to post them. It's not very hard for someone to take it down. It's the same component as giving it to a building manager, and they're not getting passed out. So when I explore this concept, I'm not sure how, from a staffing perspective, I can be completely sure, one, that the noise variances were passed out to the neighbors, or two, that they're posted in an area where someone can see it. So it seems like the more appropriate way to do it is to have it right on site. When someone walks out, they'll see just like a land use notification. They'll see a notice that says there's a noise variance on file. And since they're fairly succinct documents, someone can actually see the actual variance and see the conditions. And the benefit we chatted about last meeting is if an officer responds and a neighbor's frustrated, they can actually, instead of something in their building, they can point and say, there's a notice right there and it says no work on a Sunday. Or there's a notice right there and it says saw cutting will cease at 9 o'clock p.m.
To be clear, all major construction projects long-term, such as the Selwood Bridge, the painting of the Broadway Bridge, major ODOT projects, do come before the Noise Review Board. We do require the applicant to mail notices within the area that we expect to be impacted by them, and we do hold a hearing on those. So here we're talking about variances that are ordinarily issued over the counter by staff. And I have asked that where it's feasible, all construction variances in the Pearl District at this time be referred to the Noise Review Board for adjudication. And we are asking the applicant to distribute notices. We're not asking for mailed notices, which would be very expensive, but we are asking them for construction noise in the Pearl, that they distribute notices within a reasonable impact area. And we do hold a hearing. We have one coming up tonight where we'll consider a variance for 7 concrete pours and a crane disassembly between now and May.
I'm pleased to hear that you're going to have all of the projects in the Pearl referred to the Noise Board, because my understanding is that 98% of the current applications are done by staff rather than going to the board, and that the board chair gets to choose which they listen to and which they don't. So, Mayor, I'm really concerned about this. Is a specific case. I'm glad it came to council because it's highlighted a number of the issues that we as policymakers need to have discussed. Where are the written down administrative rules or understandings or resolution of all of these issues that we would then adopt into findings and give directions to staff at the very least to move forward?
I don't know if we have to adopt findings in this case, because it's not a strictly speaking a land use case, it's a code compliance case. But nevertheless, the question of how do we enshrine the work that's been done here in some kind of
because it's not
rules.
Just this
right.
project.
No, I get it. I understand that. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that, both of you as volunteer chair and or board member, and you, Paul, as staff. How do we take what we learned in this case and apply it as policy?
You know, I think the concept of improving notification, it's a matter of writing language into the permits that we try to consistently place in every single construction permit. One, to save time for the staff who pull that information together for me, and two, to make sure that we're being equitable and fair. So it wouldn't be logical to require new elements of notification and not have that appear in every single noise variance that goes out that's of a construction nature. So I think in terms of what we have before us today, which is a construction noise variance and not a concert or another element of noise-making activity, it's pretty easy for us to standardize that, as we have with a number of different conditions for variance types, and just uniformly make sure that that's in every single permit. I don't know that there's a particular methodology to enshrine this in code or enshrine this in particular policies and practices of the Noise Review Board and of the Noise Office at this time. That's an interesting question. The board could so decide that they want to put this within their own policies and procedures. So, for instance, one of their internal policies and procedures they've decreed is the reason why on many projects, or not the reason why, one of the protections that they have created as board is projects that are over a year long, I can't review. They have to come to the Noise Review Board. So this could potentially be something that the board could put into their policies and procedures and require that in that manner. I'm not sure if that's necessary if we're already going to put it into all of our conditions, but they could go
down
that
road. I'd like to see something like that, and I'd actually like to see it come back to council for public comment, including your notion of posting at the site. I don't know that that's in code anywhere, right? So that needs to be, we've got a general understanding, thanks to the citizens who've brought this forward into your work and such on this particular case. A new council, another different noise officer, perhaps at some point, it needs to be written down. And so I'd like to see that brought back to us in a revised policy for the noise board operations.
We can certainly do that.
I think that makes sense. Good, thank you. Good suggestion. So this has been very helpful. I'm not sure if there are others here to testify. We'll take that in a minute. But so with the case before us, you sort of evolved from there. You've got a new variance that is better for the neighborhood than what was being appealed. So I assume that the correct disposition of the appeal is to deny it, since we've moved past that. But have I got that right?
Well, that might be a Ben question insofar as, you know, you could even, I think you could
Are we approving it or are we denying it?
We're approving it.
But before we get to the disposition, could we find out if the appellant is here?
Yeah, I know we're going to conduct a hearing, but what are the options for the council?
The options would be to deny the appeal as moot because there's a new variance,
right,
to deny the appeal as just on its grounds, depending on the council's consideration, or to approve the appeal with the variance conditions as identified in the newly rewritten variance.
Okay, I'm struggling with the third one because wouldn't that be redundant?
Well,
Working at all on Sundays.
I don't know
variance.
What the appellant's arguments are at
yeah,
this point
okay.
because the appellant
yeah.
has
what,
not
what,
made their presentation.
What's the difference between dismissing as moot because there's a new variance or approving the appeal with the conditions of the variance? What's the legal difference?
Would be the basis of the, if they were to seek review going forward of the council's determination. I mean, there is a right of writ of review in the circuit court from here. So would be.
If the appellant is satisfied with the terms of the new variance, the cleanest thing to do would be dismiss it as moot.
Yes, I would
because,
agree.
Because there's a new variance which is applicable.
So we'll find out.
So
I just have one final question for staff, and that is, and under the new variance, it says that the hours of the variance construction work shall be from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then it goes on to say about the concrete pours. But then in Part G, it says the use of jackhammers and or pile drivers shall not be permitted outside the normally allowed construction hours. So that doesn't include not allowing metal saws cutting on metal outside of construction
because
hours.
Because we could write into conditions of a permit 500 different items that might potentially happen on a job site.
But then why did you call out jackhammers or pile drivers?
Because we do that on almost every project as a reminder and to make sure that neighbors are clear. And especially in this case where there's been a high level of sensitivity in the Pearl District around pile driving, that has been a component that 20, 30, 40 neighbors have been vocal about. We could write an additional condition, but at some point this becomes an exercise in trying to second guess which items might be used on a construction site and make noise.
The point of C is to say you can have this variance for these early morning concrete pours.
And that's the only thing.
It should say that then. It shouldn't say that and then in G say you can't do pile driving.
I'm not sure I see your point insofar as we're reminding them. It's just a way to try and this item winds up in the hands of citizens, and it's to help them when they read it. Because we've been second-guessed on conditions again and again. It's to help educate people that we are in no way approving pile driving before 7 a.m.
Can you cut metal before 7 a.m.?
Not if it exceeds the city noise code.
It has to exceed the decibel
amount.
So whatever they're doing.
So saw cutting in a job site this large, saw cutting metal, may potentially actually be in compliance with the city code if you're a block or two away. So I could not just simply say, here's a citation. If an officer showed up and they're a block away and they wrote us a special report, which is what we're working to do, and said, I'm in my squad car, I hear these operations within my squad car, and forwarded a special report to us, I could use that to estimate a decibel level that's being operated on the site and issue a citation. Whereas jackhammering and pile driving is so bloody loud that there's not an easy way that you could do that in the middle of the night. So we're in a safe position to say, thou shalt not do this outside of the construction hours of the city of Portland. It's more of an educational element to make sure neighbors know we have not issued any leeway with pile driving and jackhammering, because it's one of the items we hear a lot of concern from citizens on.
I think the wording of that condition might be improved to specify that.
I agree with you, Commissioner.
Other activities, including not limited to jackhammers and pile driving.
Yeah, it can be. The way it's worded is possibly confusing, and I in future variances, will look to change that.
Thank you.
Other questions for volunteer or staff?
The only other component we didn't chat about, which I assume someone might have a question on, there was a bigger question for staff and for the city attorney's office on the venue of review. And when we looked at that, within the concept of two variances from a staff perspective being reviewed at a council level, that did not seem to make sense to organize the review back to the venue that's actually directing the variance to be reviewed. So in essence, the chair authorizes the noise control officer to review more basic noise variances, and it would be an interesting affair if we're appealing right back to the venue of review to begin with, so to speak. But it could be done. It seems like at this point, with only two council appeals in 18 years, that it may not be the time at this moment to do that. So I just wanted to make sure I reported on that component.
Yeah, good, helpful. Other questions? Thank you both. Now we'll see if Mr. Benetti is here and would like to testify, and anyone else? Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, where to begin? The saw video that you saw last time turned out to not be in violation based on Paul viewing the video. That's what I was told. I've got an email. And he said, you know, it's very difficult to figure it out. Just as in the case of officers citing people for speeding with a calibrated radar detector to measure speed, in the noise office, we rely on calibrated noise measurement equipment bridged with unbiased observations to issue a formal citation based on noise measurements, yada, yada. So it's really difficult because when I got involved in the noise stuff here in our neighborhood, it was first take a log, then it was take photos, then it was get videos, then it's been this carrot that I can't quite catch. I've heard him talk about hanging signs, the company's responsibility to hang signs, and I've heard that mentioned in the summer. It hasn't happened. I believe that the onus should be on the company. If the company is coming into a neighborhood, whether it's a small community, a large community, a lot of construction or a little construction, I think that the construction company ought to have the responsibility to take care of their place in the neighborhood, and I don't think that's quite set up that way right now. Some of the things that Paul just mentioned, the business cards, there was a variance that got issued last month for this month that was supposed to be for last month. Anderson claims that they walked around, and I mean, they didn't actually say they walked around. They implied that they walked around. It's very weird, but anyway, our neighborhood didn't receive them. I guess before I continue, my wife has drawn a letter, and it's just one page. I'd like to let her read it. So,
okay.
So this is specifically for you, Mayor Hales. Mm-hmm. Last time we were here in October, I explained that the city of Portland...
I'm sorry, put your name in the record.
Oh, I'm Gwen Siemel. I'm David's partner. Last time we were here in October, I explained to the city of Portland that the city of Portland has an enforcement problem when it comes to noise. Things look fine on paper, in the ordinance, and in variances, but in practice, enforcement is broken. 2.5 months later, the situation is the same. ONI has told me that it does not wish to be a punitive agency, and I'm here to report that it succeeds brilliantly in that. Construction companies and developers alike are confident in just how not punitive ONI is. Today, I want to give you just one example of the NOI's office's reputation for being toothless, a reputation that has damaged livability in many areas around the city and has now reached the North Pearl District, where I have lived for the last 7 years. In December 2012, a project across the street from me broke ground, and from the beginning, it violated the noise ordinance regularly. Over the 21 months of the project's major construction activity, I sometimes filed complaints with the city for the project's illegal activity and sometimes tried communicating directly with the construction company. Whatever I did had little effect on the project's illegal behavior, which included regular 5:30 a.m. starts, late evenings, and Sunday noise. In the end, after months of consistent wrongdoing, ONI fined the project just twice. And when the developer contested the fines, ONI removed the larger of the two and reduced the bill to $300. The fee was due in December. The developer has yet to pay. With that kind of slap-on-the-wrist punishment, I suppose I should be grateful that construction companies aren't even more flagrant in their disregard for livability in my community. When just one construction project comes into a neighborhood, building in close proximity to people's homes, it damages livability for months on end. But when there are six sites in a two-block radius and two more breaking ground in the next few months, livability is impacted in a whole new way. If you add to that mix city agencies that fail to enforce noise ordinance and special variances, livability no longer exists. My neighborhood will be in that condition through 2017 unless you make changes. You are the councilperson in charge of ONI and the police, the two law enforcement agencies that are refusing to place a leash on illegal construction activity. Please fix those agencies and remind developers that it doesn't make sense to destroy the community if they want their own buildings to flourish once they are complete. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like the idea of a review, like a follow-up. I don't think that this problem is solved. I'm glad that I managed to prevent Anderson from taking more hours from the community. However, they are still taking hours from the community. They're taking from the community. This Saturday, they did a concrete pour, and they had a variance for that. But the language in the variance doesn't get followed. So, for instance, in the variance, it said that they should have no more than two concrete trucks on site. They had five pumps, which means they had two trucks at each pump with two trucks in waiting, so at least 10 trucks surrounding the entire block and just going from 5 a.m. And on top of that, just next to our building, there are two large sites that they use for staging, which has dirt and equipment on it. And they brought in a huge convoy of dump trucks before 7 a.m., which lined up, queued underneath apartment windows, and started taking dirt away. And all of this was happening at the same time. So there was some variance activity, and then there's this other activity. Now, the community is completely confused. I mean, I've been involved in this and put in way too many hours to figure out how all this stuff is working to actually finally get here before you today. And most neighbors don't know what to do, and they wake up, they go out in their pajamas and their coats. I sent an email, I think maybe some of you might have seen it, and they ask some questions, and they just don't have the time to be able to pursue all of this stuff. And when I go to the noise board, noise office particularly, and I say, look, this is what happened, they say, hey, we'll monitor it, we'll take your complaint into account, and nothing happens. Nothing has changed at all. Nothing has changed. So I would love to do a review. I'm happy to answer any questions. But I think it would be good to revisit this issue.
David, you've raised, and Commissioner Fritz has raised, code issues, review issues, and thank you for framing those for us, mm-hmm. because there's a bigger fix here. The other piece of what's before us today is the specific appeal and the new variance which has been issued.
Yes.
Are you satisfied with that new variance? Understanding that you would like to have a broader set of issues addressed, and I don't want to lock in on that.
I am as far as specifically to this appeal that I requested that it be revised to remove Sundays for work days, and that has been done to that degree, I am satisfied.
Okay. But you've also identified a cluster of issues that need obviously more attention and by the council. So do you have any objection if we were to dismiss the appeal on the basis of the fact that there's a new variance and therefore that's in effect, with your right to come back to us if that's violated?
I would like to do that with the stipulation that I am going to come back to you and we are going to revisit this, have that built in if possible, rather than me have to start up any kind of initiative to make it happen. Because to be frank, I feel like, I got this piece of paper that says something on it, but I'm just counting the days before some kind of large construction happens on that site. And I can't call ONI because they're not working on Sunday and they don't do anything. And I can't call the police because the police don't do anything either. And so that's how I feel. It's a frustrating feeling. So I would really like to accept this variance as it's written here, but with the condition that we meet again to follow up on whether it's effective. Is that fair?
Let's look at some options. The chief's here. Chad and Rachel from my staff are here. We might want to get some combination of them to respond to what we might do next, not just with this appeal, but.
Well, Mayor, rather than keep the record open, which you have, I guess we could continue this, since it appears that you and Commissioner Fritz have an appetite to look at the code issues, it seems to me that if there was a meeting scheduled in the next couple of months to begin that conversation, that could also be a meeting to discuss any shortfalls in these projects.
Yeah, I'm sensitive to this question of, how bankable is this new variance? How much can you rely on that? I hear you about that. So one option would be to just simply continue the appeal rather than end it, because it's not a land use case. We're not under some 120-day rule or something. We can continue the appeal and let the work that I described earlier continue, which is to have the police bureau training taking place that's going on, and to have more ears on the street, if you don't mind the bad pun.
Set a date for six weeks
return to it, give you a chance to see how it's working and say how it's working.
If we're all here right now, if I may, I would love to hear from them. I would like to be able to even talk with them, because it would be awesome. It would be wonderful to get a commitment, some sort of a promise or
let's do that. Let's appreciate you two. Anyone else that wanted to speak on this?
I actually have a question. You noted that the site has not yet been posted. If it were posted, do you think that's an appropriate mechanism of letting neighbors know about the variance?
No.
What would be your
think it's helpful, because it at least allows people to go to that specific site. They might be able to see what the rules are for that specific site. But it's been very difficult. When you looked at this piece of paper, it's like, what does this mean? What does that mean? It's very difficult for people to juggle figuring out this stuff on top of everyday matters and family matters.
So what would you like to see in terms of notification?
I would definitely like to see more enforcement, because I feel like the enforcement would help. As far as notification goes, I think that having the company reaching out directly to citizens would be very helpful. In fact, so there was a building next to us called the Parker, which was recently completed after 2 years, and the developer there, he was having a grand opening party, and for that he managed to make sure that everybody in our building got a notice that said, we're having a party and it's going to be noisy.
And how did you get that notice? Was it mailed?
It was posted? Directly mailed. They used a particular organization, which I do know the name of it. I could find that out. But they used a particular type of business that does direct mailings. Mm-hmm. And so it was that was pretty, I think, effective.
Let me make a counter argument, because I last time when we had this conversation was looking at a more robust notification system.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I have a demolition going on next door to my house, mm-hmm. I've actually become to appreciate the fact that I know there's one place I can go to check all the notices.
Yeah.
And it's right there.
Yeah.
And if that's not up to date, then there's a real problem.
Right.
Putting aside the porta potty that was knocked over and some of the trees that were cut down without a permit. Put all that aside, I know there's one place I can go to get the current documents.
Sure.
I actually probably might be overly confused if I got 5 or 6 notices for all the things that are going on in my neighborhood and would have trouble matching which and what. There is something, I would just say personally, comforting to know that I can go to the construction site and there it is. And that's a big no-no if it isn't there.
Well, what about if you had six sites right around you, six
thing.
Demolitions,
but
and you had to figure
sites.
Out which ones they were, and you had to go to six different websites and keep track of six different sites?
I'm with you. I mean, I'll go as far. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
just happy devil's
to
advocate,
as
you know,
much
we're
notification
playing the game.
As you want, because yeah. I'm all for notification. But I would still, I might, as someone living in that community, start getting confused by getting six or seven letters, and have trouble matching it to which site and what's going on. Having watchdogs in the neighborhood that check each site would give me some comfort, but I'm for more notification.
Well, okay, I see.
I don't want to overwhelm
people. Part of that could be that the companies could take feedback from citizens about how to notify better. I actually just sent some to Anderson and to Oni, and Oni thanked me for my comment, and Anderson just didn't reply. I just asked them to, you know, in their email notifications, state the variance number and state when they'd be working outside of time, like right in the subject line, because that's the most important thing, right? What you want to know is when it's outside of normal hours.
And I would also hope that the building manager is being a little more proactive on this. I mean,
in this case, a lot of times the construction companies come before the manager is there and they just tape the stuff onto their door and the cleaning people take it away because it looks like trash. If the construction companies would come during normal working hours and speak to the managers, that would be real community outreach, outreach.
But that does happen. That does happen sometimes. The construction managers speak to the building managers. For instance, today, someone from Walsh Construction told our building manager that Walsh Construction will be going tonight to the noise board to apply for a variance for February. Now, the building manager told me, oh, we'll put a notice up tomorrow to let the citizens know. Well, that doesn't work. And this is what I mentioned in my presentation last time I was here, is the companies, they seem to know enough ahead of time to be able to organize having 50 or 100 trucks come through the neighborhood filled with concrete and time all that stuff, they can put an $80 million tower up. But when it comes time to, like, notifying the citizens ahead of time, giving citizens enough time to give their feedback, then the logistics become really hard for them.
Yeah.
So for instance, I think with more stuff, if I got, let's say there were six sites around me and I got six notifications that were really clear, then I could say, oh, this is that site over here, because there's a little map on here, and it shows me the days. And it also tallies that particular place has, let's say they've got 40 days on their variance, and they've now used three, and they're going to use, you know, four, five, and six on this weekend. Because it's right now, the way it works is it's up to the company to provide their own oversight, and the city doesn't do that. And so that ends up forcing citizens to have to join in the oversight.
I want you to know that misery loves company. I got a letter recently from a state agency that said, and I quote, "This letter was previously sent to you but returned to us," meaning wrong address. "We are resending it, but the statute has run for you to challenge the determination in the document because you did not respond from such and such date when we issued the ruling."
Right. Well, how about we just don't do variances?
I think
then?
I can help you with that. I'm not a lawyer, but I think I can help you with that. So I really appreciate this input, and especially on the notification. These are the kinds of things that I would like to see in administrative rules or policies for the noise board, you know, because clearly if they were going to the noise board tonight, they knew about that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So there could be, in other land use cases, there are stipulations about how far in advance you need to notify the neighbors. So these are the kinds of things we'd like to work out with you, because previously this, in my 20-some years with the council, 6 years on it and a lot being a neighbor before, we haven't had this kind of robust discussion of the noise program, and I very much appreciate you bringing this appeal. Clearly, there's a number of committed citizen volunteers and staff who, you know, the small number that they have need reinforcements, for instance, from the police and emergency communications to do the enforcement after hours. So thank you very much for raising all these things.
I'm sorry, I have one last thing about that. I think partially because citizens have been active in going to the noise board meetings, David Sweet requested that the Pearl District noise variances go through the noise board, which we very much appreciate because it gives more voice to the process. And so this has also caused, though, a little bit of a bottleneck now, because the particular variance that Walsh wants to do in February, they don't want to wait till the February meeting. They want to do it in this month. And so having, as you mentioned, just one person managing and being the only person that can sign off on these variances for the entire city is really a terrible way to work, I think.
Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else you want to add? And then I don't know if there's anyone else that wants to speak on this. I'm going to suggest instead, both because we're missing some people that ought to be in this discussion, like Amy Archer, and because we have another time certain, that instead of having them respond now, and I also need the chief to do something else here in a minute, that we instead get you and the police bureau and the noise staff and maybe Mr. Sweet together, even starting outside in the hall after this. But
you can borrow my conference room.
Yeah, or in our conference room.
And is that officially recorded?
Well, I'm saying we need to kind of move into a workshop mode rather than a formal hearing. I want to continue the appeal because I'd rather leave it on the table here, both to give you some leverage and to give the council a chance to revisit how some of this stuff is working, because the chief's about to start training some officers and having more than one Paul Van Orden out there. That's going to take a little time, but not that long.
Well, let's just get trained officers because one more Paul Van Orden might not do anything.
So I'm going to continue the hearing, but give you a chance to have that conversation outside of the formalities of this meeting. I don't know, Mary Ellen, did you want to speak on this?
I just wanted to say that I got a couple brief comments.
Come on up. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Mary Helen Kincaid, since we didn't know. I'm the one that kind of poked the hornet's nest on this, so I kind of feel a little bit responsible because there's really responsible citizens, really talented noise office staff, and my experience with DRAC has been that when you get all the convergent people in the room, you get good things to happen, and I just said to Nick in passing, we need to get these people in the room, so I very much appreciate that, and I want to support that because I think good things can happen, and we've got some things with DRAC as far as notification and demolitions that I think we can use existing process to do, so I think that's a very important piece of this, that directives happens, because once if they don't get the information, they're unhappy. If they get the information, they can still be unhappy, but at least they're informed. So
exactly. Yeah, that's what we want to get to. So thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so unless there's anyone else who wants to testify, then I'm going to continue the hearing and ask that we have just that discussion as soon as possible, including today or starting today. And that we'll report back to the council as well as to the folks in the community that are concerned about this. Okay.
Did you want to set a date?
We're going to continue it to, 30 days from now? Sound about right?
14th.
Since we've got stuff in the next couple weeks that might occupy our attention.
You think about another hour?
Let's just set a time certain in a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon on the 19th is available.
Okay, let's take that.
February 19th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Does that work for the appellant?
Does that work for everybody? Ms. Manetti, does that work for you? Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move to